Hello there, everyone. This is John Moore, the host of the panel discussion that you are about to hear. First of all, I decided to come in and say a few words before this starts because I have a couple of clarifications that I need to make. First, I need to apologize. This podcast was recorded on November 6th, and I ran into tech issues and had some difficulty with editing, so I had to edit the cheap way. So it's going to probably sound like it's going to be very obvious that things were cut, that portions of the podcast were cut, and they were. I know that it's going to probably be a very unpolished edit, and I apologize for that, but it was the best I could do under the circumstances. Second, I want to clarify, I mentioned that PlayStation.com in this podcast did not do well with VoiceOver. Under OS X Mavericks, the site is a little bit more usable with VoiceOver. In my personal opinion, it is still not quite there. But I think you can do it under Mavericks. Third, I want to apologize because I mentioned that we would talk about Wii Tennis a little bit later in the podcast, and we never did. And so I'll just make a few passing comments about Wii Tennis. Basically, the way that you can play Wii Tennis is that if you have the Wiimote, if you listen hard enough, you can time the sounds and vibratory feedback the controller gives to time your hits, and you can actually get pretty good at the game. I know there were some other things that we failed to mention in the podcast, and I'm sure it's probably going to come across that we are very, very passionate about the hobby that we talk about, and we enjoy talking about it. There were a lot of laughs while recording this podcast. There was a great outtake about halfway through that, of course, I had to edit out, but it's quite funny. Finally, due to some interruptions that we had, this podcast is going to end kind of abruptly, and I apologize for that. I'm going to go ahead and say what we were going to say at the end of that. Basically, we were going to give out contact information, so I'll start off with mine, and then I'll give the other two people's contact info out. And first of all, I want to take this opportunity also to thank Oren, a.k.a. Josh, and especially to Brandon Cole for their help in getting this project put together and participating in the panel discussion we had. I know Brandon and I are really geeking out in this podcast. You'll hear us talk a lot about a game called Kingdom Hearts, and I still do want to play Kingdom Hearts very, very badly. And you'll hear Brandon plug his website. I also kind of timed this so that Brandon's next generation console coverage, you can start accessing it after you hear this podcast. So if it piques your interest. One more quick thing before I give out everybody's contact info. I also want to apologize for you may not be able to hear the sounds of my Xbox 360. I thought you were going to be able to, but when I went back and listened to it, so I apologize for that. But you hear Brandon's demonstration of the PlayStation 3. Now, we know that we probably left you with a lot of questions and probably on more than one subject. So I'm going to give out contact info now. If you want to contact me, first of all, you can email me at coasterfreak88. That's coasterfreak88. And you can use mac.com, me.com, or icloud.com. I have three email addresses going to the same inbox because I go back that far with Apple. So you can use mac.com, me.com, or icloud.com, but coasterfreak88 at mac.com, me.com, or icloud.com. It does not matter which one you use. Like I said, they will go to the same inbox. I am on Twitter. My Twitter account, unfortunately, got suspended Thursday. I am not blaming anyone. I think it was a glitch in Twitter's automated in Twitter's automatic monitoring. So I don't think I don't I was not reported for spam by anyone that I'm aware of. This is actually the second time that this has happened. So I think there's I have contacted Twitter support, and hopefully they will get back to me. I genuinely think this was a technical glitch. So if you when it becomes unsuspended, just keep checking, and when it becomes unsuspended, you'll be able to follow me, twitter.com/CoasterFreak88, and I'll be happy to follow you back if you tell me who you are and whatever. Feel free to follow me. If you want to find me on Facebook, facebook.com/CoasterFreak88, the same username. And I'll be happy to add you there as well. Now, I'll tell you that I'm on Facebook more than I'm on Twitter, so I'll just say that up front. If you want to contact Orin, his Gmail, his email address is orin8722@gmail.com. If he is on Twitter as well, twitter.com/orinks, O-R-I-N-K-S. And finally, for Brandon Cole, of course, you can go to his website, brandoncole.net, BrandonCole.net. And you can check out all the stuff he's got there. Of course, his blog is, of course, going to be updated as he talks about his experiences with the next generation of gaming consoles. So that will be that is something that you'll be able to go check out. I don't think he's actually done a text blog yet, but I know he will, I think. Also, he is his email address is superblindman01, all one word, at gmail.com. So superblindman01 at gmail.com. And his Twitter is superblindman, all one word. So that's the contact information for the three of us. And again, I want to thank Oren and Brandon for their assistance in getting this put together, and thanks to Rick for posting it. I really hope that this podcast is informative. I know we, as you can probably tell, we're gamer geeks. We're very passionate about this, and we get kind of carried away at times, hence the cutting of certain parts out. And we had a ball recording this. And again, I apologize that it took this long to put it together. But again, I ran into some problems. As for me, I mentioned that I play almost daily. I've got new hearing aids coming in next week, and so I have stopped playing until my new hearing aids get here. I stopped, like, I think last week, and I'm waiting for the new hearing aids to arrive. And then when I get them, I'm going to resume play. So anyhow, I'm going to stop rambling, and let's get on with the podcast. And again, I apologize for the abrupt ending. So, enjoy. All right, hello everybody. This is John Moore again, reporting back with another podcast for the Blind Geek Zone. And I have two friends here, and we're going to talk about something a little bit different than most of the normal podcasts on this site. We are going to talk about console gaming from a blind person's point of view. We're going to talk about modern game consoles, what you can do, what you can't do. We are all console gamers. So let's go around the table here. First, we have a voice you all know from my Extreme Call Blocker podcast. We have Oren. How's it going, man?
I'm good.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about your experience with mainstream gaming, how you got started in it, and what you're using now to play? And
Well, my all-time experience in mainstream gaming, I started back in like the, I guess it would be late 90s, or at least that's what I remember as the late 90s, with most of the Super Nintendo. I mean, I played some, you know, Ninja Turtles. I mean, there was a lot of 2D games back then, so pretty much a lot of games are more playable back then than, you know, a lot of the stuff now. So, I mean, you know, but really, I mean, my mainstream gaming, you know, now started in, you know, 2006 and, you know, getting a PS2. The only reason why I got a PS2 in 2006, and it was kind of a stupid reason, was because Mortal Kombat Armageddon came out.
Well, that's okay, man.
Well, yeah, but now looking back on it, Armageddon is...
Well, true, but ancient. Go ahead.
You know, so I finally got that, and then I think I got Urban Reign, too. Urban Reign is a pretty awesome brawler. And, you know, I enjoyed that. I mean, you know, it was... The PS2 is not very complicated. It doesn't have any menus or anything. You just put a disc in, and, you know, there's no dashboard, nothing.
Yeah.
And then 2 or 3 years later, I got a PS3, you got a Rock Band, more Mortal Kombat versus DC. That's probably why I got a PS3, I think, for MK versus DC.
Yeah.
And now I have an Xbox 360, and I got Resident Evil 6, you know, the BlazBlue Continuum Shift Extend, which is pretty much BlazBlue, both BlazBlue games in one.
Yeah.
And I'm getting on-demand games, you know, Jack and Space Channel 5, stuff like that. So, I mean,
I finally pressured him enough so he can start doing the awesomeness that is the Xbox Online Store. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
so,
yeah. That's basically, you know, in a nutshell. I mean, that's like in a nutshell, you know, basically what I've done with gaming, because, you know, I'd be here all day if I did a whole.
And we also have here with us, we have the owner of BrandonCole.net, which is a site for blind gamers to get together. We have Brandon Cole. How's it going, man?
It's gaming.
It's other things too, but it's the primary focus is gaming. So that's
yes,
fair.
It is. Yeah. The primary focus is gaming. So anyway, so could you talk a little bit about your gaming history here? And
yeah. Depends on how much you want to know, because the gaming has been in my background for even longer than it has in Orin's. A very long time, early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And if you want a little story on this here, I can actually tell you how I.
Oh, this is a funny story. This is a funny story. Do tell.
Yes.
Do story.
Both of you guys know the story already, but for the viewers at home,
we'll go with it.
All right. So one fine day, I, Brendan Cole, a small boy, was walking into the room where we had our Nintendo Entertainment System, the regular old Nintendo.
Oh, yes. With the big plastic cartridges. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Complete with them. It was going to be another day of me listening to my brother play Mario Brothers, because I liked listening to play video games. I like listening to other people play video games at the time, but I, in my little boyishness, had dismissed them as something that we could do. So, you know, I had no fantasies of playing it on my own or anything like that, really. I went there to listen. That's all I was in there for, to listen to him play. And he says, "Hey, Brandon, would you like to play instead?" I'm like, sure, whatever. I mean, I guess I'll try it. I don't think I'll be able to do anything, but I'll try it. You know, not in so many words. I was like 7, but
yeah.
So he hands me a controller, and he starts the game, and tells me to go ahead and hit buttons, and we'll see what happens. So there I am hitting buttons, and lo and behold, I'm jumping through levels. I'm getting coins, extra lives, mushrooms, getting bigger fireballs, killing bad guys, killing bosses, saving the princess.
There you go, keep going.
I beat the whole game, right? I beat the whole game. Went through the entire game.
And then, of course, what happened?
And I was ecstatic, because guess what? As far as I knew, I couldn't play video games, so I was awestruck. I was so proud of myself. I was like, bring on some more. But then, my brother approached me. And I hadn't done too much investigating. I was a little kid, so I really just stood in the same place with pushing button the whole time.
Yeah.
If I had done investigating, I would have discovered the truth before. but I didn't. He approached me and confessed that he had in fact handed me the second player controller and then started a one-player game. This meant that my contribution to the game was absolutely nothing.
You know, how many times have blind people had tricks like that played on them? I mean, that's just, man.
Yes, but, and that's true, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
That was the it factor, though.
Uh-huh.
Because once I knew that, once I found out that I had not done anything, I became determined to do something. I became determined to play a game on my own and to beat a game on my own.
Uh-huh.
And, that drove me into, actually trying things. I ended up not long after that actually trying Mario Brothers by myself. And at the time, being pretty disappointed at the fact that I only got past level 1. But let's face it, I got past level 1 in Mario Brothers. That's pretty cool.
And you didn't die. There's an achievement right there.
I died a couple times, but then I learned where that pit is at the end of level 1. And then jumped it. So... I got past that, and then I, moved on from there. My brother got a Super Nintendo, so I invaded that as many, as often as I could.
Yeah.
And that led me to the first game I ever beat ever by myself. And the first game I ever beat was the original Killer Instinct.
Never heard of it.
It's a fighting game. It's really good. It's really awesome.
It's really good, yeah.
There's a new version of it coming out on Xbox One, but...
Well, isn't that just too bad for the 360 people?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That led into... And when I first beat Killer Instinct 2, the first thing I did was run down to my mom, who doesn't care at all for video games whatsoever. She has no sense of, why people played them. She thinks people shouldn't even play video games. She's one of those people.
I ran
to her... Because she was the only one available that I could, be proud of myself in front of.
Yeah.
So I ran to her and said, "Look, I beat this game." So she was nice about it. She ran in and looked at the credits screen. That's all there was left. That's all there was left. I was on the credits screen. I mean,
yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, that's great. Good for you." But you could totally tell she was like, "Okay."
Yeah,
names on a TV screen. That's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it went on from there. I ended up getting my own Nintendo 64 after my brother refused to allow anyone to play his. So I got my own game console for the first time, was my N64.
Yeah.
Then I started playing games more on my own for that because I had it up in my own room.
Yeah.
And so that spawned my... that was about when I started watching wrestling, so I played WWF Attitude, WWF Warzone.
Oh, man. Those two games, oh my gosh, awesome.
Yep, and then Mortal Kombat 4, Clay Fighter 63 and a third, Midway's War Gods, which is basically a Mortal Kombat ripoff, but it's done, it's done by the same company, though, so you can't really argue with it.
Yeah.
And some other games, too. And then from there, it just went sky high. I've had games all my life, games to try and games to play all my life, got a PS2 eventually, got a bunch of games for that. Discovered even more in the realm of the playable genre, I guess not genre isn't the right word, but anyway, more things were playable, things like Final Fantasy X being almost completely playable. I accomplished some of my big gaming accomplishments that I hold dear to myself, the defeat of Sephiroth in both Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Okay, wait a minute. I want to play Kingdom Hearts so bad. How did you get through Kingdom Hearts? Because I really want to try Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
I wouldn't recommend it. And I say that because if you're playing alone, I wouldn't recommend it.
Really?
I didn't get through Kingdom Hearts, as it were. What I did was, you can't really... Kingdom Hearts itself isn't a really playable game. There's a ton of platforming that you have to do in the game.
Yeah.
And that causes a lot of problems with moving around and finding your place. But the fighting system in the game is 100% playable.
Yeah.
So while I couldn't play the game itself, there are certain points in the game, certain boss fights and things like that, and certain tournaments in that one area that you can go to, that I wanted to try.
Yeah.
So I tried them. It turns out I can be very, very successful in Kingdom Hearts and fighting. But Sephiroth, who is actually the final boss of Final Fantasy VII,
uh-huh.
is a hidden boss in Kingdom Hearts, and one entity. And he's also the most difficult boss in the entire game.
Not surprising.
There are sighted people out there who can't beat Sephiroth, who have a lot of trouble fighting him.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was able to do it has always been a pretty big thing for me.
And you're making quite a name for yourself. I know there was an article published about you in a mainstream gaming publication recently.
Well,
there's been two.
GameSpot, where a bunch of us were mentioned. Ben had one published.
Yeah, in the London Daily Mail. I saw that article earlier.
And then the Polygon one is probably the biggest one.
Oh, yes. Actually, we are going to definitely talk about, over the course of this podcast, one of the big things that we, as blind gamers, is playability. What can you do certain things? And, like he just talked about Kingdom Hearts. I want to play Kingdom Hearts really bad because I want to hear what Ariel does in Kingdom Hearts. Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I want to hear her part of the story. And
I just want to say she is awesome in combat. Ariel has this special ability that she'll use every now and then.
Okay.
You don't control her directly. She controls herself. But every now and then she has a special ability. She has this spinning tail slap combo. It just goes.
I'm going to talk a little bit about my gaming experience is a little bit different. I had a largely sheltered life growing up. My sisters owned Game Gears, and if you want to know what a Game Gear is, go back and listen to Sean's podcast on the Game Gear. They both had Game Gears, but I never really cared for video games. I was the type of guy who just liked to lay around and listen to music and whatever. And my cousin had just about every video game console under the sun. I mean, he had an NES, Super Nintendo, N64, PS1, and PS2. And he was the one that really exposed me to gaming. It started when he brought his NES over to my grandmother's house for us all to play on while we were over there. And he had Mario Brothers. It's funny you mentioned that. He had the original Mario game, and he also had Mike Tyson's Punch Out, which I got really hooked on at one time. Do you two remember Punch Out?
I love Punch Out.
Punch Out.
Just for the crappy sounds, it's a good game.
I like Punch Out. I like the original Punch Out, but I will also say this, just to be fair to all versions of Punch Out, this is one of the few games I'll say this about regarding the Nintendo Wii. But the Wii version of Punch-Out is fantastic.
Yeah, you're talking about that.
Yeah. It's no longer, the console is no longer in production.
Thank God. It's good riddance as far as I'm concerned. But anyhow,
they made a good Punch-Out game at least.
Oh, did they? Okay. Well, we have
Punch-Out's
a Wii.
Great.
Yeah, well, we have a Wii. If I can get a hold of that, I may give that a try. But anyway, and he had Track and Field. One of my all-time favorite games that he had was Excitebike, the amazing Excitebike. I mean, oh my gosh! Excitebike. He had Excitebike. He had Pro Wrestling. He had quite a few, including anybody remember that cheesy game Duck Hunt, where you had like the laser, you had like the infrared light, the cheap first gen light gun that you pointed at the screen.
Yeah, shooting the clay pigeons was really, really easy.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. and it's because as a blind person, all you had to do was listen for the beeps and you knew where to aim.
Yep.
I mean, even on a mono TV, it's just like, okay, just start at the bottom of the screen. They're there. They're always there.
It'd be pretty amusing because we were talking about Excitebike. if somebody would make a console version of Desert Bus for amusement.
Really?
Oh, man.
Now, he also had, I also kind of stole his old Game Boy from him that had the Tetris cartridge in it, but I frankly could not beat that game for the life of me. And then he exposed me a little later on to College Slash. Now, he also had a Sega Genesis, but I did not like that thing, so I didn't really pay that much attention to it. He got me hooked on College Slam for Super Nintendo, which I hear is making a comeback on the PS4, which I am extremely excited about. and College Slam, NFL Quarterback Club 96. Remember that one? And then there was that ripoff Tecmo Super Bowl, where basically like the sounds were just so bad. It like basically the quarterback sounded like the Trinoid's voice on the Mac. It was just it was that bad. It was that bad.
Wow.
And a couple of other ones. So I would play video games whenever I went over to his house and we weren't doing anything else. We would get one of his consoles out, and he had an N64. The only game he would let me play on N64 was Wayne Gretzky Hockey, because he didn't think I could play Wave Race. Which was the other one he had. And then he had a PS1 and a PS2. And I eventually persuaded my parents to get my sisters and I a PS1, because when I discovered another cousin of mine had, we were keeping him for the day, and he brought his PS1 over, and it had that version of Crash Bandicoot where he's boat racing. I asked him, I said, well, you know, can I give it a try? And, you know, he said, yeah. And when I noticed that the controller vibrated at certain points, I was like, oh, hey, maybe I can play this after all. So I got a PS1. They got Spyro the Dragon for me and NBA Live 2000 for my younger sister, because she was a sports fan. Well, guess who wound up playing NBA Live 2000
right,
more?
Right.
Yeah, and she wound up playing Spyro, because Spyro was dang near completely unplayable. I had the Nasty Nork version. You remember the Nasty Nork version of Spyro the Dragon, where like you had to go after the guy, like you had to get the balloons to go to different worlds and stuff like that. It was a pain. And so I played the PS1 for a while. I had a whole bunch of games for it. I had NHL 97, talk about the dark ages, NCAA basketball, college basketball 97, which was frankly one of the worst games I ever laid hands on. NFL Extreme. See, you can probably tell that I'm a bit of a sports fan when it comes to See, the funny thing about me is that I don't like sports. I don't like watching them, but I enjoy these games just to hear the commentary and for me to actually control something, a certain aspect of the game. And so basically most of what I played was sports games. I had NBA, I had, you know, there was NBA Live 2000, there was college basketball, there was NFL Extreme 2, there was NHL 97. I tried PGA 96, which was just an accessibility nightmare. And
all of them are.
And then, let's not talk about the golf games. We could do a whole other podcast on those. But I branched out from sports games eventually. I was a Star Wars fan, and so of course I was given the amazing Star Wars Demolition for PS1. Probably the best game I have, the most playable game I had for the PS1. You know, that's the one, if you two don't know, that's the one where basically Star Wars meets Mortal Kombat.
I honestly did not know about that game.
You didn't know about that game? Oh my gosh. Dude, it had talking menus. It was so awesome.
Oh wow. Very few games had that.
It was an awesome game. I cannot tell you how many hours I spent in front of that television upstairs playing Star Wars Demolition. I mean, it was just, I was absolutely addicted. It was almost entirely sound based. There were visuals and stuff like that, but you could rely on the sound and win, which is what I eventually started doing. So I got that, and I thought foolishly that I could play Sim Theme Park. Epic fail.
Good try.
Yeah, because I'm also an absolute diehard adrenaline junkie, as those of you that know me really well know. I mean, I've been bungee jumping before, and I've done, you know, a whole bunch of other things. And so I decided that it would be a cool idea to try at Sim Theme Park. Well, it didn't work out too well. I had a couple of other ones. I had Jedi Power Battles. I eventually got MLB 2001, which was when Vin Scully was doing the commentary, and as far as I'm concerned, no game compares to the ones where he's doing the commentary. Not even 2K can come close. So I kind of drifted in and out of playing the PS1. We had someone living with us for a while who brought over a Dreamcast, and he had Tony Hawk, NBA 2K1, and NFL 2K. 00. And so I, you know, that's when I really fell in love with NBA 2K1 and, like, screw you, NBA Live. But I got out of console gaming for a while. I just got bored with the PS1 eventually. And, of course, you know, the PS2 had come out, and I just lost interest in it with other things. And I was at the School for the Blind, so I was playing the blind audio games. Sorry, that was my iPad. Let me fix that. So I was playing the blind games like Lone Wolf and Shades of Doom and the games like that, and I was fine with them. So I'm like, okay, well, I can play these games, so I won't play the PlayStation anymore, and we eventually got rid of it. Back in 2009, I heard a couple of podcasts that a couple of blind gamers, Clement Chow and Liam Irvin, had done over the PS3 and the Xbox 360, respectively. And my interest peaked again, because I'm like, okay, how's he doing this? And we had a Wii at that time. My parents had bought a Nintendo Wii for all of us as a Christmas present, which they buy it and nobody cares about it anymore. We pretty much don't use it. It just sits there.
That goes for everyone who has a Wii.
Oh, how true is that? That is so true.
And now a Wii U. Already.
I still say that's the stupidest name for a console. But anyway, we're not here. Okay. So, I played the Wii a little bit. I did Wii bowling. I eventually discovered I was really good at Wii tennis. And that's something we'll get to later. I was like, okay, well, this is fun, but I got better things to do. And then I met up with mainly Oren and another guy we know, Jesse Hernandez. And at that time, they were playing PS3s. I think I told you outright, you can't play this or something like that.
I introduced you to Rock.
I put him down because I'm basically like, you can't do this. How are you doing this? You know, Jesse, you know, he showed me how it was done. And whatever, and I'm like,
I think if it wasn't for me, there would be no samples area on Brandon's site.
I didn't discover Brandon's site till last year, but anyway, I was interested in it, but I'm like, I can't afford a PS3 and whatever. So then, everybody started going Xbox, and I'm like, okay, so what's so cool about the Xbox? And then as I learned more about what blind people were doing with their Xboxes, like from Liam's podcast and whatever, about like what you could do with the Xbox, I just got really impressed, and my interest in gaming peaked up again. Now, I had played in arcades for a while, like Dance Dance Revolution. Yes, I played Dance Dance Revolution. I actually have a funny story about that. It happened about 2 years ago, where basically I was playing DDR, and there was a girl next to me. And I basically fell off the stage and slammed into her head on, which, she knew me, thankfully, but I was the crazy guy who played DDR, Guitar Hero, Time Crisis, which was about the hardest game ever, and Area 51, House of the Dead. I mean, my idea of mainstream gaming was playing in arcades, because I didn't think that home console gaming was possible. And then I started browsing around, hearing, the samples on Brandon's site and whatever, and I decided, well, one of these days I'm going to get an Xbox. And earlier this year, I finally got my first personal home console that the rest of my family doesn't use, which is the Xbox, which is sitting right here above me right now. And I play almost daily. My longest lapse ever was like the last 2 weeks, because I had a really bad sleep schedule and whatever, so I just didn't have time. But I am a big fan of I still play sports games. I have all of the current major sports titles on my Xbox's hard drive, and I've got I play mainly fighting games. I have Resident Evil as well, but I've got a pretty interesting situation where I have to be pretty much guided through the game, because I have a mono TV. Not a good thing if you're a blind gamer, and we'll get to that in a second. So so that's me in a nutshell. Okay, so
that's kind of more than a nutshell.
Yes, yeah. Well, actually, that's
like half the nut.
That's a nice segue. So let's go into how exactly can a blind person play console games? And I know it's going to take the three of us to basically go into this. And I'm gonna say my opinions first, and then we'll kind of go around how I think it's done. Now, I have not had experience with the PlayStation 3. I only play the Xbox 360. The thing that a lot of people that you need to understand, if you want to get out of you know, purely audio games and you want to get into blind video gaming, into mainstream gaming, is that there will be a learning curve. I mean, there will be a big learning curve because you will have to learn basically, like, you know, patterns of button presses. How many button presses do you do to get to this point? You know, like for me, I happen to know that you know, in order to get to the My Games menu on the Xbox, I have to hit the home button on the controller, go left once, down three times, and then press A, and then I'm in the menu of My Games. And I memorized where all my games are in the menus. Now, I know the two of you use discs.
I'm starting to go on demand now. It's unfortunately that the Blaze Blue Continuum Chips Extend is not on demand.
You know, as much as I hate to rant about that a little bit to go up topic, they really ripped us off. Like, those of us that buy on demand, they seriously ripped us off because we had to buy both games to get the entire story. They refused to sell CSX on demand, and so we basically had to get both games.
I like how the first story on CSX.
Yeah, and so therefore, I wound up spending about $50 getting both of them at once when I should have been able to just buy CSX and get the whole thing, you know, at a cheaper price. I mean, it really, buying on demand. Now, and let me say this about one of the big things about Xbox, and I've had a different experience with the PS3, with the PSN than y'all have. I've had some problems with it, but the Xbox.com is probably the most accessible site Microsoft has, and you can do pretty much everything. You can buy games. You can check your download queue on your console, and you can. I mean, it's really, really a great and you can interact with your friends through Xbox.com. You know, and send them messages and stuff like that. It's really good, and that's one of the big reasons why I have my Xbox sitting here above my Mac. And it's because I play with a combination of the console and Xbox.com.
Well, that's what we all do. I mean,
And that's what you will pretty much have to do. And you will have to learn. You know,
Brandon, how is the PlayStation site now? I mean, it doesn't work on all screen readers. I know VoiceOver.
It wreaks havoc with VoiceOver. We're not going there. VoiceOver.
Okay.
That is
unfortunate because I can tell you that with JAWS and with WindowEyes, it's pretty workable.
So does, you know, for the system access users, you'll be pleased to know that it works with that, too.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the PlayStation site's great. And now, I mean, there was a time, and for a very, very long time, where we could not access the PlayStation Store.
And oh, yes, I remember people complaining about that, and I basically kept saying, I told you can't do this. You know, I mean, it was oh, my gosh.
And that's actually one of the main reasons that a lot of people did move to Xbox.
Exactly.
Because we couldn't access the store, but now we can. Mm-hmm. And now we have that same store functionality that you have on the Xbox, where we can buy games, check the download queue, and start downloads right from there, so.
And one thing that you will have to do when you do console gaming is you will learn menus. That is a bit. You will have to learn menus, and they do not talk. You will have to memorize menus, and you know what's in them. You know, like where. You know, like so. Say, like in a lot of sports games, the option you're on is like play now. So you press A, but then you gotta choose your. You know, you have all these things, settings that you choose and whatever. So it's really, you have to know what the menu options are, and a lot of games have menus that wrap all the way around. So you basically have to count the times you press the D-pad or the joystick, whichever one you prefer to use. You have to count how many times you have to go over, And then you have to figure out, you know, what you have to do. Like a thing we'll get to later with a game called Injustice, in order to turn a particular mode on. You know, I remember, you know, Oren, I think it was you. You had to tell me the exact number.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you. I think it was, what was it? It was two. It was two to the right.
Well, two. Well, because you're on single. You're on single player. So then one to the right is multiplayer. Then one to the right is settings. You go two to the right. And there, you hit A, and then go two to the right there in the gameplay settings, four down to accessibility mode, and then finally to confirm it and hit A.
And press A. And it's and we'll get to that later on, because NetherRealm Studios has done an awesome thing for us in their latest game. But anyway, so what do you two think about that? I mean, do you two want to add any of your thoughts about, you know, any advice you want to give people about getting into this hobby?
Yeah, actually.
Go ahead. A
couple things. First of all, the menu thing is, while that is part of the learning curve.
Oh, yes.
If you start playing a lot of games, you'll start doing it without thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, menu memorization will be such a part of the experience that you're just so used to it that menus will just be in your head. you don't have to try very hard. If you start doing a lot of gaming at first, you know, again, there's a learning curve because you're stuck. You're like, okay, I have to learn how to navigate something without using any kind of speech input at all.
Exactly.
And you know, that might make you feel stuck, but if you stick with it, just try to memorize the menus, do the best you can. You'll start memorizing automatically in future games.
Let me say this about that. This is not something that is, you know, it requires commitment. You know, if you want to do this, I mean, it took me a while. I'm still learning. I started in August, and I'm still learning. You know, it's something that it's, I mean, you can do it casually, but now for those of us that play daily, you know, pretty much daily, I mean, you know, I agree with what Brandon said. It becomes, you know, you do it without even thinking about it. But when you first start out, I mean, I remember, you know, when I first started out, I was just like, okay, where is everything? You know, it's like, okay, I don't have speech. What am I supposed to do? But as I got more proficient with the controller and how to work it, it becomes easy. It's one of those things that gets easier with time. And if you're used to, you know, audio games, audio only games that are made for the blind, this is going to be a very different experience.
Yep.
The games like the gems, like Star Wars Demolition, that actually had talking menus, those are very rare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those are very
Virtual Fighter 5 also had talking menus.
No, 4. I have
was it
5. 4?
Okay, yeah, you're right.
5. No. Well, but 5, the menus don't wrap, and arcade is right there, so you just press A, and then you press A twice, and then you're in character select, so just go through there and press A again, and you're there.
Well, and let me also say a thing about fighting games is that if you really want to learn fighting games, it's you know, you're going to have to learn button presses. I mean, yes, you know, Seth would do that too, but, you know, now John doesn't really have a choice in the matter because no matter which buttons he presses, it's not going to help him because of a mono.
I have to really emphasize something. Don't make the same mistake I did. Get a TV with stereo speakers if you're going to do this because you're going to need them. I mean, I won't play against these guys online because they're going to beat the living crap out of me.
I mean, basically, if you want to play, you know, Resident Evil, Resident Evil 6, to be precise, surround sound is the better option.
Yeah.
Not an absolute requirement, but I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, but surround sound is expensive, you know. And this hobby is expensive. I mean, I paid like close to $500 for my setup, and I'm still buying games. You know, it's really
expensive.
Yeah, it's a very expensive. I mean, when you buy Xbox on demand, the newest games are going to be $60, and including tax. So there's a $4 tax at least in the part of this country I'm in. So basically, it's very expensive. I mean, I just bought Madden NFL 25, and that was like $65. You know, I mean, it was very. And I'll say this, when you do sports games, it's pretty much a gamble. You know, I mean, you can try your best in sports games.
Well, I wonder if you know, because I know that there is an auto fielding option in MLB The Show.
Yeah, I don't know if there is. It's pretty good. There's not in the 2K series.
Oh, yeah, and that's what makes it really bad, because I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to get stuff worked out, and I can't. Although I did find out a trick today in NBA 2K, which I'm going to try in MLB 2K, where you can basically press B and it'll default. So, you know, I may wind up trying that. But so, yes, it's very much a commitment that you will take. Now, I'm not going to tell you to play every day. I mean, if you have a job or whatever, or you have a family, I mean, they should come first. I just, right now, I'm waiting to get evaluated for a program, so I have time to play every day. And so, and I, most days, I usually do. I'll be on there for at least 1 to 2 hours a day playing a variety of games. I'll start one and be okay with it, and then, you know, get about 5 or 10 minutes, you know, play a portion of it, or in the case of sports games, a complete game, and go, and then just go do something else. Actually, well, and you know, another good thing to know too that helps too is vibratory feedback. Like, I have Hydro Thunder, which is a boat racing game, and I don't know how I'd play that game without vibratory feedback.
Some games you can't. It's too much of help.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's well. And, oh, and by the way, Hydro Thunder is one of those games where the menus don't wrap. I know you were asking me about that a while back, Orin. The menus don't wrap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, it is a bit tedious, though, because you have to go... that game actually kind of tells you what to do, so it's like, choose your trick! And you have to go over to the right until you find the one you want, press A, but then you got to go all the way back over to enter, hit it again, choose your boat!
Well, that's because I think it's an arcade port, so it's
yeah,
like
it
they
is,
made
it. Yeah, it is. And another good example of that kind of thing is a game that we're going to get to in a minute, which is Injustice, where basically there's a way that you can play it that will really enhance the game if you're blind. But there are, I mean, a lot of games, like we said earlier, there are going to be a lot of games that we just cannot play. Like, you know, the one that Brandon and I talked about, Kingdom Hearts. Which, by the way, is not available on demand, so I can't buy it.
I also have to mention that in Marvel vs. Capcom,
you're thinking of Street Fighter Cross Tekken that has the talking character.
Well, no, but Marvel vs. Capcom actually has a talking meter, where it's like level yeah. one, level two, level, you know, and it'll tell
That's
you
true.
It's full.
Are you sure? I don't. I,
yeah, it does.
I'm not,
it does.
I'm not catching that.
Guaranteed. That's
true. Mono.
Yeah, it's yeah, and that's something that before we started recording, we were basically ranting about the woes of Samsung HD TVs.
I really think that Mortal Kombat needs something like that, like an Injustice needs a meter sound.
It would be
well,
nice.
Wait a minute, I heard something in Injustice Arcade one time where it said like power meter or something like that. You know, I thought I heard something.
No, it's probably one of the no. characters saying something.
Yeah, but it's very. I mean, you're gonna now. I play the sports games. I'm one of the few people. I think I'm one of the few. Do you know of anybody else that plays the sports games, Brandon? Besides, I mean, I know you play the show, but
right.
But
the show's the only sports game I play, basically. And
yeah.
then
WWE.
Well, okay, yeah, but
it's not really.
That's debatable.
Sure. Yeah,
that's people debate on that all the time, but. Yeah. Basically, no. Orin's the only other one that I know that plays sports games.
Well, I thought Liam played NHL at the NHL line at one time.
That's true. He actually, yeah. That's true. He
yeah.
did play NHL. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't think Liam played much of anything recently, because I haven't seen much from Liam in terms of console gaming.
Yeah, well, and I got to say, I think he's missing out on NHL 14, because NHL 14 is absolutely fantastic. I mean, some of the best commentary in any sports game ever that I have ever heard. It's just excellent, excellent commentary. But you're most blind. Now, I know that there are a couple of blind people who have managed to play things other than fighting games. I mean, but a lot of it, like a lot of the thing that kind of annoys me is that a lot of the cool games that we hear about are either hard to play or not playable at all. Like, you know, when we were talking about Kingdom Hearts, that's a huge, because I want to play Kingdom Hearts so badly. But one, it's not available on demand, and two, like you heard him say earlier, You know, and I've also heard a lot of good things about the Final Fantasy series, and I've heard some of the music, and I'm really big into music scores, and so I just, oh my gosh, I want to play that game so bad.
But Final Fantasy X is almost entirely playable, and 13 is mostly playable, except until you get to Chapter 11.
Yeah.
Now, what if you can get Final Fantasy X on the, you know, is that a PS2 exclusive?
Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts, by the way, are PlayStation exclusive, that's why it's not on demand.
Sorry.
I will say this.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix is now available on PSN. Because basically all PSN games are also released digital now.
Yeah.
Day one.
Yeah.
All of them, all PS3 games.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's not available on demand, basically.
Okay, wait a minute. I was under the impression.
Why does Microsoft still make you wait 2 weeks, though? I mean, I wonder if that's going to change when Xbox One
comes out. You know what? I am so tired of that.
There is initiatives for both the next-gen consoles that things will be available day one digitally as well as on disc. So you're not going to have to worry about it with the next-gen consoles, but currently with the PS3, the amount of games you have available to you, the PS3 has the advantage because everything is released day one digitally as well.
Yeah. Well, because the thing that ticks me off about the Xbox is that NBA 2K came out on October 1st, and I couldn't get it till October 10th. I mean, it just, yeah. Oh, dang it, you know, it just, I was impatient.
But you know for a fact, and in fact I know for a fact, that because it was one of the things that was advertised, it was definitely available on PS3 day one. I believe they also had, for that particular game, Sony's also doing a pre-order program for digital titles.
Nice.
Where number one, there's two things that generally happen with that. Number one, you pre-order the game digitally and you get a slightly lower price. I mean, we're not talking much, we're talking like $4 off.
Yeah.
Number two, though, and this is big for people who get digital games, at least as far as PS3 goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number two is you get to preload the game. So basically what happens
everyone
is
everyone else gets it.
Well, no, you don't get access to it. Basically you get it will download, it will install. Mm-hmm. But it will be locked until midnight on the day of release.
Oh, nice.
Basically it'll be downloaded, and then when it's midnight, right. You just launch it.
Right. As soon as the day, you know, is on, yeah. Then you can play the game immediately.
Well, because see, the thing with me, because I was very seriously considering the PS3, but what got me over to the Xbox is the more accessible site. You know, is the more accessible site, and also the My Games menu does not wrap, which is a big deal because I can memorize where my games are. You know,
I agree with you there, but now the PS3 has that accessibility on the site, and the games menu in the PS3 actually like better than the Xbox. And actually, that's one of the other things I was going to talk about.
Go ahead.
Because we now have accessible stores for both the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And that's going to carry over to next gen as well. Both sites are
absolutely
switching over to Xbox One and or PS4.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we have that, that's no longer a factor in your decision to buy a console. So another thing that you have to consider when you buy a console, if you're going to get into this, is interface.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend listening to some demonstrations of the interfaces of these consoles because I try my best not to be pro either one of them. I try to be fair with the consoles. And
yeah.
in some things I know I've done an okay job, but in some things I'm fully aware, like with the recent E3 with my E3 blogs, I know it was very fanboyish. But anyway.
Oh, well, I don't blame you though, because that really was some lousy stuff that Microsoft was doing. Yeah.
But moving on from that, though, yeah. Interface is huge. And for instance, I bring this up because the biggest thing that's good about the PS3's interface is the fact that they decided to incorporate these little audio-visual, I guess you could call them, I call them thumbnails.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that...
You know, when you're moving...
Wait a minute. What do you say we turn our consoles on and we can show them what we're talking about? Or if you have, because I mean I have access to mine, so maybe you can explain and then I'll do a comparison. Are you okay with it?
I can actually do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm tired of being beat up by Andre the Giant anyway. So.
Hey!
Hey! I actually heard Phil doing that last night. And I'm like, oh man, that's.
All right. So here we are, PS3 main menu. Once again, one thing you pointed about the Xbox is that the game menu doesn't wrap. Well, that's actually also true for the PS3. It doesn't wrap either.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
But what I'm going to demonstrate is what I like to call the audio-visual thumbnails. So what I'm doing here is I'm moving over 6 times, and that is the games menu. And you'll notice it's now playing music.
Uh-huh.
It's specifically right now it's playing the wrestling theme song of a wrestler named The Rock.
Yeah.
The reason it's doing that is because I'm highlighting WWE 2K14 in my games menu. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is something that Sony and the developers, you know, the developers have the choice of what they make the thumbnail. But
the thumbnails, the audio.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And
for instance, I can just go randomly here. I'm just looking for the first game.
You know, do you have Kingdom Hearts on your hard drive? I'd love to hear what that thumbnail is.
It actually does have one, but I don't have it on the hard drive.
Ah.
I have a disc. Okay, that's actually, I forget what game it is. See, what I'm doing right now is I'm moving through my list of downloaded games, and as I do that, different music. It's music from the game question. So that's a hugely good way to know where you are in your game list.
What was that music from?
I'm trying to remember. I think that is a. I think that's one of these Sam and Max games, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, and now I'm gonna go ahead and do the Xbox now. So I have turned my Xbox on, and you will hear this because this is a very sensitive microphone. When you first turn on the now, how can you explain this? How does the PS3 sign-in screen actually work? Like when you turn it on, is it similar to the Xbox or what?
I'm not going to lie. I set mine auto sign-in, so I never have to worry about
okay,
that.
Okay. Now, that's one thing the Xbox does not have is auto sign-in because it assumes...
Actually, yeah, it does. Mine auto sign-in.
It does, yeah.
Okay, well, nobody told me that because I have to press A every time. I had to press A every time. So, basically, I turned my Xbox on. The logo came up. So, my profile is the highlighted option right now. My profile with the gamer tag is CoasterFreak88, so it's highlighted. So I press A, and you heard the little sound that means it acknowledged it.
Right,
and then, in a few seconds, come on. So you heard two simultaneous sounds there. You heard the click and the swoosh. So the click means that I am signed. I'm now signed into Xbox Live, and the swoosh means that I'm at the main menu of my Xbox. Now, by default... the first thing you're going to land on your Xbox is the tray. So if I press A right now, you hear my drive open up, and then I close it again. But I don't use the I don't use the disk drive. I do on demand. So if I want to get to games that I want to do, I will press again. I'll be happy to help anybody who wants to know the layout of this controller. But I'm not going to go into controller layout right now. I'm going to press the Xbox button. And that is I forgot what my friend called it. I think it was called like the home menu or something like that. And so basically,
it's actually called it's if you want to go in technical terms, what Microsoft calls it.
Yeah,
that is actually called the blade.
The okay.
That is actually what it's called.
The blade. Okay, so let's just say that then. So I hit the left arrow once. And by the way, the reason I don't know any more of these menus because I choose not to learn them because I use this as a gaming device only. But you can use them for like, you know, movies and stuff like that. So I'm going to press left arrow once. And then I'm going to go down 3 times and you'll hear sounds. And then that is my games. It's highlighted. So I'm going to press A here. And so now I am in a list of my games, and I have a ton of them in here. But let's say I wanted to load one of my new favorites, which is NBA 2K14. So I'm going to go count over to the right. Count over to the right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And that is NBA 2K. And so if I wanted to launch it, I would just press A. But again, you'll notice that the Xbox does not do the thumbnails like Sony does. For the Xbox, you have to memorize. Okay, let me press B to back out of this.
Yeah, now see, I'm
going to turn mine off.
If the Xbox One did that, that'd be pretty awesome. But I guess that's a Sony trademark thing.
It could be.
Yeah, it's funny because the PSP also does the thumbnail.
Does it really?
Yes. The PSP, the Vita does not.
The
PlayStation. Well, I like the Rock Band, Rock Band 2 and Rock Band 3 thumbnails.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a very brief overview of the interfaces of the get. Like, you know, we only touch the tip of the iceberg here, but it's just, this can be done. And if you really want to sit down and put your mind to it, you can have a lot of fun and you can amaze your sighted friends by playing games with them. You know, well, I mean, apart from the fact that I have a mono TV and I get destroyed every time I play online, I usually don't play online because I'm just terrified of getting the crap beaten out of me. But it's, and it's written out. What are some of y'all's favorite games? Brandon, what are some of your favorite games?
MLB The Show still ranks pretty high. I get that one every year.
What does?
MLB The Show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, it's a good. You know, there's kind of a rivalry between the 2K fans and the show fans.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I get that.
Yeah. Because I. Part of it is because. Well, I mean, part of it is because
you're a 2K fan is because you can't get it for.
Yeah, because of Sony's idiocy after 2011. Exactly, and the show's not even on demand anymore. Nice work, you people. You know.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the show is it's made by Sony.
It's made by SCE. Right. So you play MLB The Show. Now, why do you play MLB The Show? Why do you choose that one?
Because of the things that make that game basically playable. The auto fielding is a huge, huge help.
Yeah.
That means. Once the ball is in the air or on the ground, you don't have to worry about where it is. And you can't see the ball, that's a big help.
Well, and there are factors that you look for when you're a blind gamer, like, you know, do the menus not wrap or are they easy to get around otherwise? You know, what is, like, in sports games, is the commentary good? Because I can tell you right now, FIFA 14 does not have the best commentary in the world. It's fair, but it's not the best. It could be better. Right. So you look for, and in fighting games, it's like, are there enough sound cues to go by? Now, how did you do, was there enough sound in Kingdom Hearts for you to, like, fight Ariel?
Oh, you don't fight Ariel, you fight with her.
Okay.
She helps you in combat, she doesn't fight you.
Oh, no, that's right, because, what's his name? Sora goes into the sea to help her with something.
Into Atlantica, yes.
Yeah, into Atlantica to help her with something. But yeah, it's...
But the fighting system in Kingdom Hearts, though, just to give you an idea of the reasons it's accessible, there's several things that contribute to that. First of all, yes, plenty of audio for both the monsters and for Sora. In fact, that actually boils down all the way to the different keyblades that Sora can have. Each one of them sounds different.
Whoa! Wow!
I'll go one step further with that, actually.
That's phenomenal.
Depending on what keyblade you have equipped, your footsteps are different.
Nice.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah.
He hasn't started playing.
You know, it's so bad because I was led to believe that Kingdom Hearts was for Xbox 360.
No, PlayStation exclusive.
I'm gonna get a PS4 just for freaking Kingdom Hearts. My gosh. I mean that. Well, and did you hear that? I think in 2016 they're gonna be re-releasing Kingdom Hearts 2, Kingdom Hearts 2.5.
Actually, next year.
Next year. Okay.
Well, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out in 2015. Is
right. So they're doing year by year.
Wait a minute. I heard that the series was coming to an end. I heard it was not ongoing.
It is not coming to an end. The key thing is Sora's story is coming to an end.
Oh, okay. Sora's story is coming to an end. Okay.
They intend to continue the universe past that.
Oh, they will? Boy, I still say it would be interesting if they had like some kind of arcade mode in that game where you could do like Ariel versus Ursula or Ariel versus Gaston or whatever. That would be just
That'd be cool if they made like a Kingdom Hearts versus, you know, a Kingdom Hearts
versus
game.
Oh gosh, actually, I was just thinking. I was talking the other day about Disney versus Disney versus Capcom or something, where you could have like Ariel fight Rufus or something, or Belle fight, you know, one of the. I mean, it would be
better than Belle, the Beast.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And yes, in the actual Kingdom Hearts game, the Beast is quite the brute when it comes to combat.
There you go.
There's a point in Kingdom Hearts where you can't fight, but the Beast is with you. And yeah. when I hear someone get to that part of the game, I remain completely unconcerned because the Beast is so good.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it. He just goes, and just everything dies.
Yeah. Well, and for people that don't know what we're talking about, Kingdom Hearts is basically a crossover between Disney and Final Fantasy, which is a really popular series of role-playing games. It's basically a crossover of the two. Very interesting storyline. You know, I've heard so much about Kingdom Hearts. I'm just like, oh, dang it, I want to try this so bad.
It is a crossover that came about in an elevator in Japan.
Are you serious?
Yes. In Japan, the Disney Game Development Studios and the Square Development Studios are in the same building.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
And two executives, I guess, I don't know if it's two executives, but two people from either side were just going up in an elevator together, and they're talking about, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if our games crossed over? What would that be like?
Oh, and they do so well, from what I've heard. I mean, in fact, I listened to a podcast called Window to the Magic, and on one of the episodes, he was doing a Disney video game tribute, and one of the hosts said, no series of games has contributed more than Kingdom Hearts.
I agree.
I mean, it's so...
Well, I mean, I really hope for a damn fact that Call of Duty Ghosts is not outsold by Grand Theft Auto, or is Grand Theft Auto outsells it, Grand Theft Auto 5 outsells it, because...
Now, there is a completely unplayable game. That is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. A lot of the games that a lot of people think are cool... You're going to struggle with if you're a blind gamer. You're really going to
$29 million game is just unplayable. But I mean, I know there's a couple of blind people, but I used to do this and I have a Grand Theft Auto San Andreas sample up on Ben and say, well, I'm just going mess around.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. But, man, it would be so cool to go in Grand Theft Auto 5 and just mess around with Trevor or
absolutely. Now MLB The Show, of course, is a sports game, a Major League Baseball sports game. Do you have any other favorite games, Brandon?
As far as fighting games go, I like the Mortal Kombat. I like Injustice. I like. I'm actually one of the few people in the world that likes PlayStation All Stars.
I've never even heard of it. Is it that bad?
It's panned by the critics, but I actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Okay, you mentioned Injustice. We have to talk about Injustice.
It's basically PlayStation All Stars is basically like
Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers Brawl for Nintendo.
Oh. Okay, yeah, well, you mentioned Injustice, and I completely... We have to talk about Injustice, because this is one of the few examples of a game company reaching out to the blind. Now, for those of you that don't know what Injustice is, just basically take DC Comics and make a twisted storyline out of it. You know, like dealing with alternate universes. I don't really know how to
explain it. Just like any DC comic story, really.
Yeah, like, well, how would you explain it, and how would you explain Injustice to somebody who doesn't know what it is?
I don't know. One universe is a Superman bent on domination.
Basically dictator Superman that the Joker deceives, and basically the our Justice League characters get pulled in to help them out. It's a bizarre game, it's made by the same guys who make Mortal Kombat, and
you can't forget about the Mortal Kombat 2011 storyline too.
I haven't tried it, and you know why. So, really, I haven't tried it, and you know why. But, one, I have a mono TV. Two, it's too hard. But, you know.
Well, you got to change it to easy.
Yeah, well, change it to easy, but it's still going to be hard with a mono television. But anyway, I think we need to make special mention of Injustice, because we had a very cool thing, nod to blind gamers recently, with the latest patch for Injustice. Do either one of you want to explain the story behind this and how it came about and what it is?
Well, I'll explain it in short as I can.
Okay,
basically, this guy, Carlos, I think his last name is Vasquez, or Vasquez, aspired to become a tournament Bubble Fighting player, and he did. I mean, he got out. He trained with this like combat in Houston. There's a combat Houston team up over there, and he trained with them to get. Well, he practiced, you know, in general. He loved the game in general, but he wanted to become competitive. So he got in contact, you know, on Twitter with these guys, and they trained them up and leveled them up to tournament level. And he's like, "Oh, let's go to Evo and whatever, and you know, you're good enough for that."
Yeah, he went to the one in Japan, right? Is that the one in Japan?
That's the one in Japan.
Yeah.
And he went there, and I mean, because I remember that there was a blind guy, Bryce Mellon, who, you know.
Yeah, I remember him.
You know, apparently beat Ed Boon, but he...
You know, I find that so hard to believe. I really find that hard to believe.
He got way popular, and it got, you know, I mean, news were all over it. I mean, but Carlos, I mean, you know, he wasn't really big in the media and stuff like that. So he, in, you know, another realm, you know, basically, you know, praised him on his efforts. He got to the semifinals, and you know, he got ousted by one of the more top players that he, you know, I think he knew and played with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, another mom said, "Okay, you know, what can we, you know, is there anything we can do to make this better?" And he said, "Oh, you know, yeah, you can. You know, interactables are hard for me right now. Maybe that's why, you know, I've lost, basically." He said in this interview about, you know, sound cues, "Oh, it'd be great if we can have sound cues." And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they had an update, you know. It came out with a patch, and we got it.
Now, sound cues, this needs a little bit of explanation, because in Injustice, you are dealing with these huge multi-level fighting arenas, and there are these things, these interactive elements.
Well, let me point out too is that there's actually a guide on game FAQs with arena descriptions with interactable. Like, it'll tell you where the interactables are.
Oh yes, GameFAQs.com. That's an invaluable resource for blind gamers.
And there's a bunch of every arena is described, I think, every level, and that helps. But you know, memorizing it, you know, especially for tournament level play.
Yeah.
But I mean, these sound cues, apparently, you know, I mean, I've only messed around a little bit with these, but when you're near one, there's going to be a lower pitch, and when your opponent is near one, it's a higher pitch, you know, on a different side.
No, I think it's high. I think it's higher pitch when you're nearer them.
Yeah, because
I know today, by a stroke of luck, I happened to hear one in the blend of sound and picked up one of the. But basically, the interactive element part of Injustice is basically, now you can turn it off if you really get frustrated with it. You can get somebody to turn it off for you. if you
well, these interactive elements are cool because certain characters will do different things with them, like Batman.
Yeah.
You know, there's like I remember there's a turret in one of the stages, and it's like weapons locked, and it locks on and fires near the, you know, toward the enemy, and it's rather nice when it hits.
And the interactive elements, they can take a whole bunch of different forms. Like, I think when you heard me on Skype, or and apparently I got one.
And if you really want to test out interactive elements, and you don't want to go to training mode, go to arcade mode, put it on very easy, and just go around and use them.
Oh yeah, we mentioned GameFAQs.com. That's a very good source. Now I do want to mention one thing. you will need sighted assistance to set these consoles up. It's just it's inevitable because you have to sign into your account. Now, you can create accounts through Xbox.com and PlayStation.com. That's how I did mine. But you will need to have a sighted person help you sign in to your console. And then they'll need to – what I strongly suggest is that you get a sighted person to give you the lay of the land as far as menus go, because that's what happened to me. My friend Clint actually came over and showed me how to get to the My Games menu, and he basically said, this is where you're going to go, and how many – you know, like I had more the Mortal Kombat arcade collection at that time, so he said, this is where you go here and go two over and whatever, and then I just took it from there. But, you know, you will need some sighted assistance when you first get started. Do you agree or not?
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
There's no real accessible way to set it up.
No.
I mean, you might be able to help yourself out a little bit if you have a USB keyboard. Both consoles do support that. But you won't necessarily know when you're on the screens, you know, on which you type anyway. So it's now, definitely going to need to have some sort of help.
One app that I think people may find useful. Now, I don't use this because I personally am okay with memorizing where everything is. But Xbox. You'll have to confirm with me about PlayStation. But Xbox has an app called Smart Glass for iOS and Android. That what we need is accessible on iOS, actually. And basically, you can launch games from it. You can actually check what screen your console's on with it, and whatever. It's a really cool app because you can. I know in the next generation console, which is actually coming out in a couple of weeks, the Xbox One, you're going to be able to pretty much control the games, aren't you? Like you're going to be able to pretty much
only in the same way that you already can with Xbox 360, okay. Which basically. Second screen experiences for some games that support it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more widely supported on Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately going to have to hook up my PS3 if only so that I can play the third BlazBlue, because I think it's a PS3 exclusive, unfortunately.
As far as 8th gen consoles go, I'm trying to decide between a PS4 and an Xbox One, and I'm really waiting to see what the easiest one to use is, because PS4, I want to play the show. And
PS4. PS4 apparently has a huge drive from what I heard.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
Actually, that was debunked. PS4's hard drive is exactly the same as Xbox One's at 500 gigs.
What?
However, okay. Yes, it does. It does because games are larger now, but... PS4 also still allows you to replace it with any hard drive you want. It's still not proprietary like Xbox is.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because... So I could, like, for ours, I know for a fact, because even though this is a game I can't play, I'm one of those nerds that tries to learn as much about games as I possibly can, and gaming consoles and gaming systems and everything like that.
Me too. Yeah.
So I can tell you right now, this is one example. For PS4, Killzone Shadowfall... is that one of the PS4 launch titles?
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a really cool game.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, but if you get it digitally, 40 gigs.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, they better have a 1 or 2 terabyte hard drive replacement.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not proprietary.
So you can take a regular hard drive.
Right, it is proprietary with Xbox One. But it is not proprietary for PS4.
So
you can get like a 2 or 3 terabyte notebook hard drive slot, you know, put it in there. So I guarantee you, eventually, I'm going to be doing that.
You know, you mentioned that I saw a trailer for Dead Rising 3 on the Microsoft website today, and you know, I don't know what to think of it because basically I clicked something.
It's a zombie game.
It is
much.
Okay. Yeah. What happens with me is that I clicked it, and now I get flash ads for new games every time I go to Xbox.com. It's really annoying.
You know what? I really wish games were playable. Freaking Telltale games, because they have some good they have a good Law and Order game, which seems quite cool, and they have a. Well,
The Walking Dead. Let's not forget about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're not going now. Okay, I want to talk real briefly because we need to wrap up here. But I want to close by talking briefly about before we give contact information out the Kinect. I know Brandon, you played with it. Do you think the Kinect is good for the blind, or do you think it's a ripoff?
It is good for the blind.
It is good for the blind.
There's pretty much no question about that. The voice commands you have access to are helpful, and I know where you're going with this, Oren. I already know what question you're going to ask, and I can already answer it. Xbox One.
Do you?
Xbox One, the Kinect is going to be better for the blind. This is something that I talked about in a blog when I found out about it. Xbox One is giving us the functionality with Kinect that we've been waiting for years since the Kinect came out. Xbox One is going to allow you to basically say, play Injustice.
And you can
and
load
then it'll
it.
Launch right into the game.
Yeah, and you can load it.
Well, I mean, you know, with the Xbox now, you have to say, like, games.
You still have to know the menu structure.
Just, yeah.
But well,
not with the Xbox One.
I could not get a Kinect because if I can give a brief description of my bedroom, most of it is taken up by a full-size Sleep Number bed, and the Xbox is basically jammed in because we had to move part of my Braille Bible over to put the Xbox in with the TV behind it, and it is very cramped in here. I have no space for a Kinect, none at all, and I really wish that I did, but I'm also somewhat of a traditionalist when it comes to games. I want to have my hands on a controller. And
Brandon, didn't you say that you completed the introduction to Mass Effect 3 with the Kinect?
I did. Yes,
nice.
I did indeed. It was quite fun.
Yeah, but that's the big thing with me is the Kinect is you know, you have to have space if you want to do the Kinect. That's because
you don't have to have space if you want to just use the speech portion of the Kinect.
Okay.
If you're just using that, you don't have to use the camera portion. You know, you're not forced into it.
Yeah, because one thing that I do not agree with about what Microsoft is doing with the Xbox One is you have to keep the Kinect hooked up at all times. I'm like, you know,
well, some of that's no longer true. That was true.
Oh, really?
That's one of the things they went 180 on.
Oh, they did. Okay. Well,
that's
no,
one of the things.
Nobody told me that. That's because we were all led to believe that,
again,
that you had to
blog.
Have the Kinect hooked up.
Again, Brennicle.net blog.
I haven't had time to browse those blogs. It's not that I don't want to. It's that I haven't had time to browse them. You know.
Let me put it this way: the Xbox One has a chance now. I mean, you can, you know. I still don't agree with the way they started out, and I don't agree with some of their policy choices.
It was ridiculous.
But it does have a chance now because they went 180 on most of the things that they said in E3.
That they said they were going to do. I think when they realized that the PS4 sold out of pre-orders on the day of, you know, it just,
If you listen to the Sony press conference and listen to the crowd reaction.
I remember that.
When Sony is like, and PS4 will not force you to, you know, will allow you to share games, and the crowd's like, it's amazing.
He said it, because like, oh, you can bring it to your friend's house, you can, you know.
Yeah. And they just kept cheering and cheering and cheering.
Well, and because the big thing for me, if I decide on the Xbox One, because I am a purist, I want to use a controller. So the question is, how easy are the menus going to be to navigate on the Xbox One? Now, I mean, if I absolutely
no confirmation
have to,
yet. So.
Now, if I absolutely have to have the Kinect, you know, okay, fine, I'll do it. I'll use the speech portion of it, but I don't want to.
Right.
You know, yeah, I really do not want to. I want to be able. Go ahead.
I'm not by any means saying the Kinect is essential. I'm just saying it is another option.
Well, no, that's true. That's true.
I wonder if the voice commands for games are going to make games more playable.
More widely supported, yes. But it depends on how well supported it is, I think.
You know, it'll be interesting if all of a sudden you can play, like, say, Black Ops with the Kinect, and you can, like, shout orders at your troops. You know, and
there are already games where you can do that. So.
Yeah, Homefront. Yeah. No,
you can't do that with home, but you can do
in Spec Ops: The Line. I believe you can do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really.
I mean, so we're all looking forward to that, and I know Brandon, you're going to do reviews, aren't you, of both consoles on your website?
BrandonCole.net.
Yeah. You're going to do reviews of both of them on your website. Yep. Okay. Well, I know we probably left you guys with a lot of questions. I know we barely touched the surface of the iceberg, and we got carried away, but. We hope that this got your interest going. So before we